now in this series of sermons. Wisdom is with the aged, and with length of days comes understanding. As you know, we have been in this series of seasons of life, and we started with spring. Last time we had summer. This time is fall or autumn, whichever one you prefer to say. And next time will be winter, and then we will be finished. If you remember this chart, I've shown this a few times, kind of my definitions of who is in which season. The spring folks are 0 to 24 years, are in school, college, dating. The summer folks are kind of like myself, marriage, the kids at home, we've started careers, we're in our careers. Tonight is the autumn, the fall or autumn people, which I would call 50 to 74 or so. This is the empty nesters, generally, those who retire. You retire during this time. You have grandkids during this time. And the next time would be the 75 year and plus. I've noticed that, I guess, summer, and you might agree with me, one way to define summer is when you go to generally more weddings than funerals. But I would imagine around the time you get into the autumn of your life, maybe you start going to more funerals than weddings. At my work, I work with a bunch of 25-year-olds who are getting married, and so I've been going to a lot of weddings lately. If you recall also, the fall time of life is when many men, too many in my opinion, suddenly kind of get this love of Hallmark Christmas movies, which is rather disturbing in my mind. This is the chart we've shown. You know, this is general. Of course, this does not apply to everyone, but I feel like in general it's true that during this period of your life, you still have your health. You have probably more money than you've had. You have more time, generally, than you would before. And one thing we'll talk about heavily tonight is you really pick up in the influence category. You have all four. I kind of look at this as the golden age to me, it seems like. And one of the reasons we talk about health in both my golf leagues and my hockey league, if you can believe that, at least half of my teams are in their 50s and 60s. Which is impressive. I keep thinking, well, I hope I can be upper 60s and still playing hockey. That's neat. But anyway, to me, from where I sit, this is almost the golden age. You've got everything during this time. The big four, as it were. Let's talk about who among us is in this age group. Not. Yeah, I'm not that dumb, okay? I didn't mind putting the names of people who are in their 40s and 30s and 40s. I'm not about to start putting your names up there if I think you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s. You know who you are, and you don't need me to put a list up there. So we're not going to go through who all is in this age group. I took this picture at my house last Sunday. It's this pretty red, I guess it's a maple tree in my backyard. The thing you see in the middle, Nate threw a little thing up in the tree, and no matter how many times we threw a football at it, we couldn't get it out. But, you know, this is the time of year that the leaves change. Many people look forward to fall. You might have noticed this thing, this sort of theme out there of the endless summer. There's an endless summer hydrangea that I guess blooms for most of the summer. In Orlando at Universal Studios, they have an endless summer resort. There are endless summer clothing brand, an endless summer tanning facility. Endless summer patio furniture. But I have to ask, do you really want summer to never end? A lot of people look forward to this time of year. It's many people's favorite season. The changing of the leaves. I don't know if you've been in Research Park in the last 5 or 6 days. Wow, there's some spectacular colors on those trees. People look forward to the cooler weather. Thanksgiving, my personal favorite holiday, is during fall. A lot of you people here are football fans. And what does fall mean? Football season. The smell of burning leaves. I love that smell. campfires, s'mores, marshmallows on fire. It's a time of reflection. And I feel like many people also look forward to this time of their lives, to the fall of their lives. Many of you responded to my email beg request, and I wanted to go over just a few of those responses. You might find this interesting or you might not. I would break the responses into a set of positives and a set of negatives. We'll do the positives first. First, you have more time, which let me give a thumbs up to that, because for the last 2 months I've been saying, surely you got more time when you're in the fall. And if you guys had emailed me all back and say, no, we don't have any more time, I would have had egg on my face. So thanks for that, for confirming what I thought. But a lot of people said you have more time. A lot of you realize that you are now more influential than you were. And that's a good thing. Many of you, several of you talked about these are good opportunities now to teach the younger people. One person, I thought this was interesting, said that during this time in his life, he is focused on memorization of the scriptures. Why? Because he said, well, it could be that later in life, I can't see very well anymore, or I can't hear very well anymore. Those were the positives. I thought there was some good stuff there. In terms of some of the negatives I received, people said that they worry more about their children, specifically about their children's spirituality. They said they're more forgetful. Several of you said that you've noticed you have a less physical strength, that you have maybe more aches and pains. Some of you actually said that you find yourself fighting negativity and discouragement, almost as if you get older, you're becoming more negative, and that's something you had to fight, and perhaps discouragement went along with that. Several of you said a major burden, or not burden, but just a part of your life now is caring for ailing parents or ailing siblings. And finally, one person talked about regret. And this is always interesting to me because I usually want to know, you have regrets. Did you regret the things you didn't do or the things you did do? And so those were the negatives that I received and the positives. This is a kind of a synopsis of the email responses. So let me say thank you to those of you who did respond to these. Moving on, we have pictures of three people. We have A, B, and C. And let me just ask you a question. Which one of these people would you most take advice from? Now, A, maybe if you wanted to know who the best Mario character is. But you're probably not going to take a lot of advice from A. Hopefully the B guy would tell you, I don't even have much advice to give you. But C, you would take advice from him. We don't take advice from 10-year-olds just because they're 10 or 40-year-olds just because they're 40. But let me tell you, we listen to 60-year-olds and 50-year-olds and 75-year-olds just because they are 50 and 60 and 75. Your words in this season of life carry weight simply because you are older. And we will come back to that in a moment. I found this interesting. U.S. Capitol, where 535 elected officials do their jobs. The average age in the House of Representatives is 57.6 years. And if you took all the members of the House of Representatives from the youngest to the oldest and you line them up by age, the middle one would be 58. In the U.S. Senate, the average age is 62.9. And if you did the same thing where you line them up by age, the middle one is 66. We don't send 25-year-olds and 35-year-olds generally to Congress. We send older, more seasoned, more mature people, which is why when they act like knuckleheads, we think, shouldn't you know better than this? I mean, if we sent a bunch of 25 or 30-year-olds up there and they acted like knuckleheads, we'd say, well, that's our fault for sending them up there, and they're 30 years old anyway. But there's something about being 50, 60, 70 that we expect sense out of you. And we'll come back to that too. But real quick, and before we get into the meat of this, I just did want to point out, did you know that we have four famous people here at Jordan Park? Three of the four of them are in the autumn of life, and one of the four who's more in the winter, I would say, acts like he's in the autumn, so we'll just call him in the autumn too. We have one person here who was for years a public official for the local utility company. He was on TV all the time. People knew him. We have another person here who's a high-ranking safety official. He's on TV a lot. He has a high-pressure job. We have someone else here whose name is on billboards from here to Nashville. In fact, I can't go home to Nashville without seeing his name all over the place. And we actually have, you might not know this, a world-class radar engineer here. I have traveled 1,200 miles to the deserts of New Mexico, and this guy's name was everywhere, and he's sitting in this auditorium right now. I was going to go to Japan, and they were talking about this guy going. All four of these people are in this part of their life. That should tell us something. All right, moving on now to more of the meat here. We're back to our A, B, and C. And we're going to go real quick through the elders and the elders' wives' qualifications. And you're going to think to yourself, which of these qualifications best matches the person? Above reproach. C. Temperate. C. Self-controlled. C. Respectable. Who among these are the most respectable? C. Hospitable. Which one of these would be hospitable? C. Skillful in teaching. Not A. B, maybe. But C, you would expect it. Dignified. Which one? C. Faithful. C. Good manager. C. Not a novice. C. Tested. C. Discipline. Some of these, A, B, and C, would have some of these qualities, but all of the qualities, that older gentleman. Which is the reason why all three of the elders of this church, I believe, are in this stage of their lives. David Griffin, Mike Hubbard, and Jeff Archer. You know, and I look at this list, and I just honestly have to think of my father-in-law, Kurt. You know, I'll go to his house, and I'll get all worked up about something, and I'm, you know, and he just kind of looks at me with this calm demeanor, and he has the right words, and I think, yeah, that's experience and age and wisdom talking. We tend to challenge our kids. We challenge our parents. We challenge our young married couples. But I've been 40. I've been in the church, quote unquote, my whole life. I can't remember too many times when challenges were directed at people who are older. So this sermon is a challenge to those of you who are in the autumn of their lives. Now, before we get into this, I have three challenges and then I'll be done. Before I get into this, I do want to acknowledge that I'm 40 and I'm about to start speaking to 50, 60, 70-year-olds. I have tried my best to make sure that what I say is said with respect, that is going to be aim to you with honor, because a 40-year-old has no business telling 50, 60, and 70-year-olds what to do. We can be an example, but you are older than I. So I have tried to make this material appropriate for the context. As far as you who are in the autumn of your lives, this is your time. Embrace it. This is when all of you, your body of work, comes to the forefront. This is when the spotlight is on you. The first thing I would challenge you to do is to have speech seasoned with salt. There's a Colossians passage that in the context is talking about masters, perhaps to slaves or to servants or to employees, but I think we can take this and apply it to our point as well. Your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. We expect older people to know what to say and when to say it. And I love this salt analogy. Have you ever been sitting at dinner and the food looks so good and you go to take a bite and you think, that doesn't have enough salt? You run over and you get more salt. What about the opposite situation, which to me is worse? That food looks so yummy and you put it in your mouth and it tastes like ocean water. It's got so much salt. And you spit it out. There's a perfect level of salt and seasoning that goes into food. Too much, it's gross. Too little, it's gross. Just right, it's yummy. Look, I'm a terrible cook. I burn the eggs. I can barely cook the toast. If you ask me how much basil should go into something, how much pesto should go into something, how long should the thing stay in the oven, when's the bread ready, when should it come out? I don't know. Why? Because I don't have experience cooking. Now, look at this chef over here with the cool flames coming out of the pan. She knows how much salt is needed. She knows how much pesto is needed, how long the thing should stay in the oven. When should it come out? How is it done? When is it done? Why does she know that? Because she's done it over and over and over and over. She has experience. Experienced cooks know how to season their food. And let me just say that, to me, the people in their autumn of their lives have so much experience with so many different topics and so many different people in so many different scenarios that you should know, and I believe you do, how to season your speech. When should you be gentle? When should you be harsh? When is enough enough? When should you say nothing? When should you say a lot? Those of you who are in the autumn of your lives, those of us younger than you, we need to see this. We need you to have speech seasoned with salt. Because we need to see you. How do you deal with certain situations? How do you use your words? When do you use your words? There's hardly anything more beautiful than a well-placed word. And those of you in the autumn of your lives, let me encourage you and challenge you to have speech seasoned with salt. Challenge number two, we expect excellence from you. As we've already said, because you are older, people will listen to you, unlike they will listen to someone younger. Because of that, your influence is large. People watch you. People look to you as an example. If you've ever noticed, especially in the Gospels, and even in, say, going back to Moses, who are the leaders of the people? It's always the elders. The elders of the people. The elders of the people. The elders did this. The elders did that. Why is it the elders? Same reason that we elect 65-year-olds to Congress. We expect them to know how to lead. When Timothy was praised in the New Testament, when Timothy's examples were praised in the New Testament, who was it? It was his mother and his grandmother. If I can just use a personal example here. I've been in my current job 17 years. I've worked at Dynetics 17 years. And over the years, I've had an opportunity to interview many people. New grads, people with 5 years experience, 10 years experience. But every so often, a 20 to 25 to 30 year person comes along. And when that 25 or 30 year old person with that much experience, 25 years experience, 30 years experience, when that person sits across that desk from me, I expect good answers. I expect that you know a lot. In fact, I expect that you know a lot more than I do. I expect you to impress me. I expect to walk away from that interview thinking, this guy knows his stuff. I expect to walk away thinking, what a valuable asset he would be. If you have been active in a job for 25 years, I would expect you to be expert at it. So can we ask the same question? If you have been active in the church 30, 35, 40 years, is it reasonable to expect you to be expert at something? In my work, we have these thing called, the people called SMEs, S-M-E. It's a Jeff Kaysen three-letter acronym, Subject Matter Expert. They are the people that we hand the tough problems to. They are the people that when we have an issue, we run to them. We don't run to the new grad. We run to them. They are the proverbial graybeards. Now, I was talking to Craig Lawson earlier today, and he said, my beard is gray. Sorry, Craig, we're not talking about you. We're not even talking about you, Doug Marlin. We're talking about these older people who know their stuff. We have a problem, we go to them. They know the answer, or they know how to find the answer. We look to them. They know we look to them. And everybody understands, this is not arrogance. You, subject matter expert, are an expert because you've been doing this a long time. And we have nowhere else to go. Subject matter expert knows, I've been doing this a long time. They have nowhere else to go. It's not arrogance. In fact, it's expected. Is it not the same way in the church? If we have a tough problem, where else are we going to go except to our subject matter experts? And a subject matter expert is going to be someone older and wiser. If we have a question, where are we going to go? We're going to go to you. Those of you who are in the autumn of your lives. There's a reason in Titus 2 that it instructs the older women to teach the younger women. Moses, Charlton Heston, Moses was 80 when he battled Pharaoh. And if you do the math, back then, the age of 80 is about the equivalent of age 58 today. So that's you in the autumn. He had excuses. He was unwilling. He was fearful. God dragged him kicking and screaming. But in the end, he did his job, and he did it well. Joshua, in the Bible, was 75 years old when he entered the promised land. In modern age, call it 56. So Joshua comparably was about 56. And look at the expectations that God placed on Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. So now, Joshua, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot steps, I have given to you. just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not desert you nor abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Let me ask you, if you are 56 years old and this instruction comes to you, what is your response? I have to thank my mother-in-law for sending me this. An extensive study in the USA from the New England Journal of Medicine found that the most productive age in human life is between 60 and 70 years old. The second most productive stage is between 70 and 80. The third most productive stage is from 50 to 60. This is you in the autumn of your lives. The average age of a Nobel Prize winner is 62. A Nobel Prize is not a career achievement award. It's based on what you've done recently. But like we said before, your body of work builds to a point. And these Nobel Prize recipients have built and built and built and built. And at the end of their careers, here at 62, that's when they reach their full potential. Average age of presidents of prominent companies is 63. The average age of pastors, I assume they mean the preachers by that, the 100 largest churches is 71. The average age of the popes is 76. This tells us that it has been determined that the best years of your life are between 60 and 80. New England Journal of Medicine. Productivity, ironically, should increase for you as you get into this stage of your life. My third and final word of encouragement and challenge to those of you in the autumn of your lives: this is no time to coast. Like we said before, this is you. Titus 2, I find this interesting. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. What does that mean? That means you keep on keeping on. Even if you're older, you excel at perseverance. It is easy, I assume, when you get to this age, possibly, to coast, to spend time, health, and money selfishly. There's at Bridge Street, if you've been there recently, there's this Christmas ornament shop. And Allison and I went there the other night. And if you need a toilet paper Christmas ornament, they've got one for you over there at Bridge Street. But I noticed this one. Christmas ornament that says, retired. I don't know how well you can read that. But it says, I will have fun, relax, play, retired. And loving it. This reminded me of a story from Jesus that in the context is talking about greed. And he talks about a man. But I want you to note the attitude of the man Jesus is talking about. And Jesus told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began thinking to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and I will store all my grain and my goods there. And I will say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years to come. Relax, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is demanded of you. This time of your life is no time to put it on cruise control, and coast in. Look, I want to go on one of those around the world cruises. Maybe I hope one day I get to go on an around the world cruise, but it's not the focus of your life. The focus of your life is productivity, taking advantage of the time you have remaining. Don't be the fool. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Let me encourage those of you who are in the autumn of your lives to mount, to run, and to not grow weary. If you have a need tonight to come forward and accept the gospel and be baptized, this is a time that we offer anyone to that. Water is ready. The time is right. You can come forward right now while we stand and sing.